If anybody would like to get some tea, please help yourself before we have our chat. So for anybody who doesn't know me, my name is Dawn, and I've been practicing for 20-something years now, maybe 26 soon. And the monks today were invited to go to a Laotian temple. I can't remember which one, but Nipen never seems to go, but he said this time he should just go and ask me if I would take over for today. So happy Easter. It's a beautiful day outside. Gift of a day, I thought I'd just share a little snapshot of my practice today, and if any of you wanted to share a little bit of what happens for you. I mean, the same things are happening for everyone, and it's really helpful to hear somebody else is doing that too, or somebody puts words to something that you hadn't put words to, and just helps to make sense of it. And we all know we're in the same boat. So as I was practicing today, I was just noticing that there was certain elements in there. Of course, we all have unintentional thought, the thought that just keeps coming up and running on and on, has nothing to do with our current circumstances. It's about the past or the future, and it just likes to keep going on ad nauseum. And for me, and maybe Nat, there's always a song or some music that just keeps trying to pop out there and become a song and wants me to sing along. And I include that with unintentional thought. And then there's noises, the things that are happening in this room today. There's birds, there's motorcycles, there's slamming doors, people walking back and forth, heat coming on and off, a breeze coming through, all these things might take a second of your awareness. They might pass through. You might have all those random thoughts and you say, oh, I'm thinking. And then a nice breeze comes and then you keep moving and you keep moving. And maybe you do this for a little bit and you stay with this for a little bit. And then you realize you're off again and you're singing again and you're thinking again and you come back, put it here. And all those things are good fodder. You say, oh, I'm aware of that, and come back to what you're doing. So we don't have to think of anything as bad or that's annoying. And why is that at meditation? That shouldn't be here. It should be a quiet place. It needs to be what's really going on, what thoughts are really with us, what situations are really happening. And the key is how we deal with it. We notice it and we come back. Oh, and come back. So after the unintentional thought and the circumstantial thought, I also have some intentional thought of my mind trying to take over and take control and say, well, that you're not doing it right. That's not right. And you're thinking, and oh, you got to try harder. And all these thoughts of judgment and correcting and trying to be good and trying to do it right. And you think it's your voice and you're saying, oh, I have to do this. I have to do that. Oh, look what that is. You're making judgments. And you think that's your rational voice, and it seems like it's you. It's the one who's talking every day in your head. But then there's something even beyond that that's even better than that, and that's the awareness for me. So I see the awareness, just this bubble of knowing, oversees all of that, all those little things, all those things coming and going, flowing in and out. And the awareness is above and beyond, and it's just noticing them. It's not commenting. It's just seeing all that. And there's such a joy in finding that and getting, I mean, you start off your practice and you're stuck in intentional thought, and that could be for a long time. That could be years before you, or depending on your practice, it could be a few practices if you're astute, or for many people, they can't even get out of the unintentional thought for quite a while. But some people do very quickly. I did on my first practice. After an hour, I sat there and I suddenly said, oh, there's something better beyond just that intentional thought. So it depends on everybody. But the awareness is beyond all that, and it's whenever it comes up for me and I realize, oh, that was there. It's always been there. And I think, oh God, what a joy. Thank God. Thank God for that. Thank God for that thing that says, I'm just going to sit here and everything going around can just go, and I'm not going with it. And there's a joy in that. There's like a, I don't even know what to say. Just knowing that you don't have to do that. You don't have to run the rat race. And I feel like personally, my own words are, I'm just going to sit on it. I'm just not going to move. You keep doing that. I'm just going to keep doing this. And just sitting it out and waiting it out and letting those things come and go, there's a real joy to that. And that's how we should handle our lives. You see other people running around, you see the world trying to create circumstances for us that we have to start running around for, and you can just sit and maybe in life you can't always, you sometimes have to go along, but in our practice time, in order to make progress and really see what's in there, I'm just gonna sit on it. I'm just gonna keep blazing away, doing this, and bringing whenever those things come, I'm gonna go back to this, and back to this, and you get to start to oversee what in Buddhism they would say is the world, is Dharma, all those things in the world that are doing their thing, and you get beyond that, and you can feel happy and comfortable in knowing, well, that's that, and I. There's a happiness that doesn't rely on that, and it's right here. So my practice today was seeing those random things come in and out, and sometimes one thing was dominant, and sometimes another was dominant, and sometimes awareness was dominant, or sometimes the awareness was just the best part, when it's overseeing all that, and you never really get involved with those things. You see them going by, but you don't really care what they are. You see their things. They're things that are going on, and you just go by them. And Lumpur Diem would say that when we do this practice, he is the founder of our practice, he would say it's like you're boxing. You go in the ring, and you have an opponent. And you've got a box. You're in the ring, you've got a box. You got to know who your opponent is. And sometimes when people practice concentration or something, they stop all thought, they stop all these phenomena, they stop things from coming and going, and then it seems like it's just you in the ring, and you don't know who your opponent is. You don't know if they're going to punch you next. You don't know what's going on. So he would say, you need to keep one eye on that opponent, which would mean giving 70% of your awareness, 70% for awareness, and 30% for thought. Just know that it's going on, but don't get involved in it. And he also said, he told Ajahn Nipin once, he said, you see that stream over there, it looks very still, or that pond looks very still on the top, but if you look down underneath, there's all kinds of life going on, there's all kinds of rippling and plants and microorganisms and things happening under there. So you might think everything's still and clear, but there's a lot going on that you're not seeing. So that was his correction to Nipin at one point when he thought Nipin was concentrating. So all of these things lend themselves to the fact that in our practice, we need to let everything be what it's going to be. Don't try to control it. Don't judge it. Well, you can, but just watch yourself judging it. Let anything. Whatever goes on, it's all good. It's all good fodder. Let it go by, and you just stick with this, and it just keeps you above and beyond. And then the things you do get wisdom from watching those things go by and not grabbing at them. And you get integrity and ethics, and you know your boundaries, and you know what your role in life is, and you know how to treat others. And all of this comes with watching those come and go. So again, I can't say enough about this practice. I've been doing it for so long, and I'm so lucky that I was introduced to it when I was only 19, and that I've went to Thailand and spent a lot of time at it, because it comes with me everywhere I go now, and I have the benefit of it, and it guides my life. I have the ethics and the integrity from it. In life, you have choices to handle certain situations certain ways, and you just do, stick with the facts and do it with truth and honesty, and the other people will take it other directions, and you just, there's just so much to be learned. There's a lot of wisdom, and as is written in the Lumpertian books, there's certain levels of wisdom that you get with it. But I think most of us are just starting off with a unintentional thought, just trying to pull us off every second, and just trying to move beyond that. And eventually we come to see thought, which means you just see this thing go by and you didn't get attached to it and you saw it come and go. That's the next step we're all hoping for. And then it leads us to noticing things about, you know, integrity and attachment and ethics and higher things. So that's my experience to share. And if anybody would like to say how their practice looked today, it's fun to see the different variations. And there's no shame in saying, I couldn't get out of unintentional thought the whole time.
I thought at one moment it was wonderful to sit here with all the plenty fullness of nature, and it's easy to be with that and not have any preferences, not say, oh, I wish that red bird would come back, or why is that car now driving through my life? Yeah. But of course the cars would come, and those intentional thoughts do come back, or the unintentional thoughts do come back, I mean, and they interfere with that paradise and become your lens of kind of overlaying that awareness. So suddenly nature is not so perfect.
Yeah.
It seems that that is not so perfect because you've, I don't know, distorted it or try to mess with it or try to do something, get something out of it. And that's a happy game. That's a fun game.
It's a fun
play.
Game. It's all a game. Yeah.
Or it's I've had trouble with that idea of your opponent. You thought your opponent, because somehow you have to dance with it too, you have to live with it, you have to allow it. If you press it down or try to push it away or try to kick it in the eye, it's kind of troublesome, it's kind of thought.
But eventually thought becomes, like you said, a game, and you look at it as, oh, you again. You're trying to play your game. You're trying to make that song pop up in my head.
Songs? You're so lucky.
They're repetitive, though. They're repetitive, and they don't stop. Lisa said once a cute thing. She said she feels like thought is like a little chipmunk peeping his head out of the rock wall and jumping back in again or something. He just wants to keep popping out. So if you want to think of it as a cute game, it can be cute, too.
Yeah, enough of rats.
I think of it as a game. I think it's interesting, and there's a lot going on. And sometimes when people first start, they feel like, well, this is boring. There's nothing going on. I'm just sitting here. There's nothing happening. And they don't even know, like Lumpertian said, like the pond, there's so much going on beneath the surface that they don't have the awareness to look into yet, so they think it's boring. But for me, there's so much going on, it's so interesting, and you see this push and pull, and there's a game going on, and then this is trying to win, and it's actually like the most interesting thing I've watched. So
this is like whack-a-mole.
I had that intrusive thought that you mentioned, which is, am I doing this right? And, you know, then the thought came that I'm allowing myself this time not to have to think and not to have to worry or let any of those thoughts in. And when the door slammed, I just noticed it and said, oh, there's a loud noise, and just kept right on going, and, you know, was right in the feeling, the rhythm of the room. So to me, it's like a blessing, a vacation even, to come for a little while and just be.
Definitely. Yeah. I always, especially when I first practiced, I knew sometimes your mind plays tricks on you, and sometimes it's like, oh, this is boring. Oh, you have things to do. You have to do your laundry. You have to clean your house. And I was like, I said I could come for 4 hours today, and I am staying for 4 hours no matter what those thoughts say, because they try to mess with you, and you think you got to go do something. Or, and I said, I set this time aside when I was rational. I'm going to stick to that, and I'm going to sit through whatever comes my way. And now it's unintentional thought getting you to do stuff. So, yeah, this time is sacred. We said we were practicing during this time. I don't have to deal. I don't have to think or work out problems while I'm here. I'll do that later. I'll do that all day long. But while I'm here, I allow myself to put them down and try to keep working on it.
Through my life experience and coming here, needing that mind escape. And I said to John like 2 weeks ago, I'm like, you know, when I do that hand movement, I'm really not thinking about anything else. And then a thought would pop up, and the noise was a little hard for me today. You know what I mean? All different types of noises. And that was, I think, the lesson for me to become more aware, and, you know, and I was able to overcome that. But in the beginning, it wasn't easy. But it is like a sacred space. It's like a mind vacation.
Yeah.
And you know, experiencing a lot of personal issues right now, just working through stuff. It's such a gift to come here and to finally get a little bit of that turn off, you know, and avoid some of those little thoughts that creep on through and snag you back. And I finally feel like I'm starting to get it. And it's good.
Sometimes when you're stuck in a problem and you've been thinking about it for so long, and then you just release yourself from it for a little while, you can come back to it fresh and maybe have some new insights too. So it seems like when you have a problem, you got to stay and figure it out. But sometimes it's best, you did your best, now go away from it for a little.
It's a really special practice. Back. I'm going to start coming out twice a week, because I'm able to come on Tuesdays, and, you know, I need a community, so it feels really good. I mean, this is like my church.
Great.
You know,
you're welcome.
I have really a thing in my life. And, I'm just grateful.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome to be here.
Awareness.
Yeah. Thanks. And sounds like you already did the right thing today. You hung in there through annoyance with noises or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the lesson right there.
It was. And
that's the practice.
And I was like, you're aware of what's going on. You know, just don't let it interfere with it. You know, so I didn't hear anything after a while. Which was good. The noise, the child, the bird, the doors, everything, this is a really amazing practice, and I hope to develop it more. Be more consistent with it.
Great.
I have a hard time doing it when I go home. I don't make that time to sit down and meditate, and I don't know why it's so hard for me there.
I think that's true for everybody. There's
really?
So many things. There's calls coming in, there's phones and computers and TVs and laundry and dishes, and sometimes it's, you know, you can try to apply yourself while you have to do those dishes. You're just being in the moment, feeling the dishes, rubbing the dishes, taking a shower. You can try to take little snippets and try to apply it where you can. But it is very good at the beginning to get a good grounding here, where it's a little more forgiving and you have a little more space to get it, and then try to apply it in your life. When I first started, I didn't think I could apply it in my life very well. You forget about it in 1 second.
To be ready, too. Like, I wasn't really ready, and, you know, I kept getting thrown off course, and I wasn't consistent with coming. And I need to be back, and it's a commitment to me. And but I didn't think about, you know, integrating those things when I'm home washing dishes.
Yeah.
Or
just try as a game. Try it as a game. See if you can. That's what I think.
Because I need to stop my mind from going. So, especially when I'm home.
And be forgiving. It's a game. Messed up. Come back. Messed up. Come back. Because in fact, the practice is messing up a gazillion times. and coming back. And every time you come back, you've just strengthened coming back. So that is the practice. So don't be afraid of that. Don't feel you failed. Some people get angry with themselves that I was gone and thought for 20 minutes. I just wasted my time. But as soon as you notice it, bring it back. And every time you bring it back, you're strengthening. Lumpur Tiam would say it's like putting a drop of water in a bucket of dirty water. And eventually that water, if you keep dropping clean water in it, it's all going to clean out and become clean water. So, yeah, just think of it as a fun, forgiving game that you just keep chipping away at, and it does bring amazing results. Curtis, I haven't seen you in so long. What's new? How's your practice?
Good. The week's been a real good experience of Rupnam, my body awareness for me. And it's kind of like Nipan would say at times, when you're ready for more, you'll get more. And meaning more like circumstances to work on this boxing technique. So, I have a big practice in body awareness just for chronic pain and stuff, but this particular week it was a fun episode on a Wednesday of a tire blowing out on 684. And having this attachment, I need to move forward to be in an appointment. And one thing led to the next, and I found myself making the decision to change this tire on the highway, and it was pretty interesting to be on the side of your 30-year-old van and have semis going by, literally right there at 70 miles an hour.
Wow.
And to quickly see your thinking, to quickly experience your feeling from your thinking, and to at the same time have something kick in that puts it to rest so you can operate in a calm, mindful, relaxed, even if you will, manner. Even with semis going by at 7 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Waves of water coming off the side of them and hitting me at any time. After the incident, other incidents occurred, and I can go on and on, but to see it and witness it. And I think, it's also spoken a lot, you're building units of awareness, and you're putting more units, into this awareness over time. And for me, certainly over time, being introduced to this practice 12 years ago.
Is that how long it's been, really?
Yeah, you'll find yourself integrating it in washing the dishes and driving the car. You won't be aware of what you will over time become aware of is this ability with awareness to slow things down and escape. And, and it's not always, here in the classroom with just birds and cars and slamming doors. Sometimes it's amazing to see that ability show its face with the cars going by at 7 miles an hour. And so it's been a fun week of realizing that, and still feeling some tension in my body even to tell the story afterwards to someone. And again, that's just an opportunity to see the story I tell, the thoughts I have, and the almost immediate energetic consequence on this form I inhabit, and get in there and work with them. So it's been a good week for Ruth now. The rest of this stuff is a longer story.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody. It's interesting to hear everybody's stories. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful day.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
The Dharma talks on request of Mark are being recorded. But the intention of that is that they'll be published on our website, So anyone who talked today who's not comfortable with that should say, oh,
speak
I don't
now.
Want my words go out otherwise. You're okay. You're okay, Kirby.
Absolutely, thank you.
You're okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.